This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let it go. Gonna keep going. I hope you guys can hear this. That music right there,
love it,
is the sound, ladies and gentlemen, of the roof opening here at Globe Life Field. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Alec Medford
anymore.
Back at the studio, and with us now, with an entrance music bestowing his greatness, it is broadcaster extraordinaire Matt Hicks. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, this is kind of cool. Right as the gates are opening, we've got the roof opening. That was a very late decision, to my understanding. But love it here at Globe Life Field when the roof is open. And that's going to add to the excitement and the festivities of opening day.
And you said it, opening day, like you said. It's always great when the roof is open, but it would almost feel like if it's not raining or 100 degrees or freezing cold, it just feels wrong to not have the roof open on opening day.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
it's just, I think it's just so much better. You know, for us, you know, the visibility is much better with the roof open. There's, you know, the natural sunlight coming in here, and it just, it feels like opening day should feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, we just saw this little note from I think it was Kennedy Landry, that Josh Young dropped off a bunch of items for every teammate in the clubhouse today, a bunch of little things, and he wanted to inspire them. He just wanted the team to be inspired by this. How important is he to this club and, like, the energy and the leadership of what they have?
You know, I think it's very important for him to be involved on a daily basis. One of the things that was so difficult, you know, last year after he got injured in the fourth game of the season, fifth game, whatever that was is that he ended up being away from the team for quite some time, having to, you know, have the surgery and all the rehab and whatnot. And being there on a daily basis and being there for your teammates is a big part of a club's overall success. And, you know, Josh is emerging as a team leader. I don't think there's any question about it. So, you know, for him to have a healthy and productive 2025, I think, is a big part of the key to this team's success this season.
And you were just kind of talking about this, and I hope this doesn't feel like a retread. I was just hoping for a little bit more here. I mean this. I love Josh Young. We all do. Can you be a team leader if you're not on the field?
That's really hard to do, right?
It is, yeah.
I mean, it is super hard to do. you can be a rah-rah guy.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we saw that, like, for example, when we had Max Scherzer and Max wasn't pitching and how much of a rah-rah guy he was, or from, like, an Austin Hedges who got to maybe have two at-bats a week and really wasn't on the field all that much, but he was a great cheerleader.
But when
it's one thing, it's one thing to be a cheerleader. Yeah. It's another thing to be sort of the force and soul of the club, and I think you've got to be on the field in order to be that.
And I definitely agree with you about the potential. I think we all feel that way. I was just curious about that, like how tough you're like, hey, I wish I could be out there. And you're like, okay, that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Matt, I've been asking everybody throughout the day this question. When you were a kid and you were looking at opening day, who were you trying to be? Who did you want to be when you were growing up?
Well, once I started,
Vince Scully.
Well, you're doing a fine job at that.
Once I started realizing certain players and whatnot, you know, I grew up in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., so I rooted for the Washington Senators, the team that came here to become the Rangers in 1972.
Which is kind of cool in and of itself,
It is kind of cool, but I think all of us, when we got out, there was a behind my house. There was an open field along a creek, and we go out and play either softball or baseball out there, and we all wanted to be Frank Howard.
Oh, yes.
Everybody wanted to be Hondo and to just, you know, hit the ball a long way. And so, I mean, that's who I grew up kind of wanting to be. But, you know, realization hits hard when you play youth baseball.
Right.
And you realize that I can't get out of the way of this guy that's throwing the ball into my back. I got hit by pitches. That's how I got on base more than just about any other way. And I never hit a home run in youth baseball. I came close. I did hit one ball over the fence. You know, it's 200 feet all the way around. And I once hit one over the fence that was down the left field line and foul by just a couple of feet. Cleared the fence by a few feet. I was excited. I thought I had hit a home run.
Were you Stremskiing it or Penske pulling it?
Well, this is way before those
guys. Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm sorry.
So, we wore wool uniforms, my man.
Wow.
So, anyway, I'm starting to get to first base. I'm hoping that it's fair. They say foul. I'm so disappointed. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that was so close to a home run. And then ended up striking out.
Oh, man. It happens, though.
So, and now you know the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey.
Yeah, that feeling, though, of a home run is
good feeling. Oh, it is a good feeling.
A lot of times you don't even feel it.
You don't. Usually when you hit the ball really well, get it with the right launch angle, you hit the sweet spot and whatnot, and the ball just jumps, and you don't feel it. As opposed to those times when a guy is throwing, and I've actually had the opportunity to take a swing at a major leaguer's sinker. Now, not when he was in the major leagues.
Right.
But a guy that I worked with when I was in El Paso in Corpus Christi, Ken Schramm, who pitched in the big leagues in the 80s, was a sinker slider guy. Every now and then, like when we were in El Paso, we'd go out to the field and just kind of mess around a little bit. And he'd throw me a sinker, and I would just, my arms, you know, I'd make solid contact and my arms were like
rattling.
I think I need to go to the emergency room right now.
Yeah.
People who ask, like, why or if you would use batting gloves have not experienced that ever before.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is amazing why a guy like Vlad spent his whole career going, nah, I'm good without them.
Yeah.
Just rub them together and just go hit a baseball.
A lot of these guys have such incredible strength, not just in their upper arms, but in their forearms, in their wrist, in their hands. I once had the opportunity to meet Harmon Killebrew many years ago.
Cool.
This was back in the mid-90s, and I actually had him on the pregame show once when I was in the minor leagues, and he actually, up close and personal, looked like Popeye. Like, his forearms were, like, actually bigger than his biceps.
Yeah.
How's that possible?
Yeah.
But this was a guy, he was a small guy. He was, like, 5'9", and he was a home run hitter. And the reason is that he just had incredible development in his forearms.
Now, I know this is not necessarily relevant to the team itself.
Harmon Killebrew.
Or Harmon Killebrew, for sure. I think you answered how his biceps got so big. He was 5'9". He's like, I got to pump this thing up. A lot of buzz has continued on the Rangers, especially in the last month or so when you get folks' predictions and everything like that. You just saw ESPN overwhelmingly their favorite to win this division by, they got more votes than every other team combined. How do you feel about, what do you think about the momentum that is built up for the Rangers heading into today?
Yeah, well, I think it's certainly there. I mean, the fact that, you know, pretty much all of your position players are healthy going into the start of the season. Yes, we had the line drive that took out John Gray, and he's going to be down now until sometime in June, is our understanding. Cody Bradford won't start the season in the rotation. Every team has these injury issues, but for the most part, the club goes into 2025 relatively healthy, and you hope get out to a good start. You know, it right now we're just in the talking stages. We'll really see what, you know, this team is made of as we get into the season. But I was talking with some people earlier. You know, here we're focused on opening day, and rightly
sure,
so.
For sure.
And whether you win or lose on opening day, it doesn't really matter. I'll go back to the 2013 season when the Rangers opened up in Houston and were significantly better than Houston and lost that nationally televised game. Well, that was one of two losses in 19 games against the Astros that year. Rangers went 17-2 against Houston that season. How you begin can be important, but it doesn't necessarily indicate what you're going to do for the rest of the season. Another case in point, the 2010 season, I believe, the Rangers got off to a 5-9 start.
Though they did win that first game.
They did.
All three times they've been to the World Series, they won game one.
2010, 2011, 2023, the Rangers won opening day. And they went on to play in the World Series.
I get your point, though.
And in 2011, they beat Boston to open the season. So, but it doesn't necessarily mean this is what's going to happen. So whether we get off to a great start or a middling start or a terrible start, that doesn't necessarily indicate how the team is going to end up. I think this team is built to be able to score more than it did last year, to be able to withstand issues if they crop up in the rotation and or in the bullpen. I think there's depth, and depth is really important here, and versatility. You know, the fact that, you know, we've got Josh Smith and Ezekiel Duran on the club again. You've got two guys there that can play in the infield and play in the outfield. So I think this team is built to withstand some of the problems that come along during the course of a season that everyone encounters. And I think that the Rangers will be able to weather those storms better than they were able to last year.
If I'm going to go, I'm a fan first, then a broadcaster. I'm very excited. You mentioned them about seeing Rocker and Leiter. And when we talked with Chris Young earlier, I guess I've just kind of been under the assumption that, hey, they can pitch as well as they want, but once Patrick Corbin is ramped up, he's going to go into the rotation. Chris Young pushed back against that idea, and he was like, I don't necessarily know if that's the case at all. That's probably what he should say, but that makes me even more intrigued to see how Rocker and Leiter do, knowing that there's somebody waiting to take their spot.
One of the things that you get from interacting with Chris Young, members of the coaching staff, players, is that competition is always going to be there, regardless of what your status is.
Yeah.
Now, some people have a status, you know, based upon their contract, that you're not going to be talking about those guys. But when it comes to, you know, Kamar Rocker going on day five, he's got an opportunity now.
Yeah.
And he can run with it. So when he pitches in Cincinnati, and if he's lights out, if he's six innings and 10 strikeouts and one walk and the winning pitcher, well, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to take Rocker out just because we feel like we have to put Patrick Corbin in.
Right.
So maybe he goes again. And in that second start, wow, this is the Rocker we all, you know that we have and that we figured we'd get. And so maybe he just runs with that. You know, Cody Bradford last year, I don't think anybody saw the kind of start that Cody Bradford got off to.
True.
And Cody Bradford now, when he comes back, if he's the Cody Bradford we saw last year, well, Cody Bradford's going into the rotation over and above somebody that perhaps is not performing at that level. So,
and Chris Young said this morning they got good news from the training staff about Cody Bradford.
He did
not elaborate any further,
right.
But he said usually the training staff gives them bad news. This morning about Bradford, good news.
Yeah. So if Rocker pitches well, he'll stay in the rotation. If Patrick Corbin comes in and he pitches well, he'll stay in the rotation. It's, you know, it's very healthy to have that kind of competition on the club, because you can't just kind of coast for a start or two and think that you're going to stay in.
Yeah, I love it. And that's what, like, part of Chris Young's whole approach is making sure that you're preparing for the worst as you go along.
Yep.
The I know you know a lot about his past and his history and who he is because you've told us that you've read up on Bruce Bochy. In the 3 years now that you've gotten to, or the 2.5 years that you've gotten to spend with him, how has he changed much? Does his approach to this thing, is it just so always consistent? And how lucky is this club to have him at the helm?
Very lucky, to answer that part first. He really is a calming influence. And when I spoke with Kevin Pillar a little over a week ago, asking him about his time with Bruce Bochy in Bochy's last season in San Francisco, Pillar played there most of that season, had a very good year. And the one thing he said was that he was just a professional calming influence throughout that clubhouse. Now, they didn't win as many games as they wanted to.
Right,
they won something like 78 or 79 games that year. But the one thing he said was, hey, he had us competitive right up until the trade deadline, and some guys that we thought we might lose, we ended up keeping. So we felt like, you know, we were in it. He knows how to compete. He knows how to manage players and their personalities. And you're right. We're just so fortunate to have him. And the other thing about Boch, everybody, you know, you take a look at a guy that's been managing for as long as he has and his age, and you go, old school manager. Well, to a certain extent he is, but he's also the kind of guy who listens and is willing to incorporate information into his decision-making process. And so I think that's another aspect of Bochy that makes us very fortunate. And by the way, somebody turned on the wind turbine.
What's going on today?
They really, really did. By the way, can I just get you to settle an argument? No team in Major League Baseball is ever, ever, ever going to go 162-0, right?
Right.
Okay, good. Because I keep getting this nonsense from people like, it's going to happen. If you don't win today, you can't go 162-0.
That's a fact.
Shut it down, Matt.
Forget about it. The Los Angeles Dodgers might win 120 games this year. You know what that means? They're going to lose 42.
Unless they win 162.
They're not winning 162.
I want that as a drop from Matt Hicks. Thank you very, very much, good sir. We really appreciate the time.
Guys, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Always
we're the
good.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we are going to keep the Guestapalooza coming on. The roof is open, and we are counting down to Texas Rangers opening day. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Second baseman stands in and drills one deep out into left center field. Ward going back. He turns to look. It's out of here. First pitch seen by Marcus Semien. He deposits up into the seats near the visitor's bullpen for Marcus, his 19th home run this year, to give Texas a 1-0 lead.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. The impeccably timed Dave Raymond is going to be joining us right now. It's Whataburger opening day. The doors are open. The roof is open. It is baseball time in Texas. How the heck are you, sir?
I'm great. Did I hit this like right on the nub?
That was amazing.
You nailed it.
I was ready to start running you down and everything.
Mid-season form. You know, maybe I should check my text real quick.
No.
Oh, hey, Corey.
Hey.
Yeah.
There's a text from Corey.
It was
there.
Something along the lines of never talk to me again, something like that.
Man. Opening day, and you're already ghosting us. No, it was busy down there.
Yep.
It's exciting. Right? I mean, it's fun. Everybody's excited. Hey, happy opening day. Happy opening day.
And is Mike dressed in a tuxedo?
He's not. We didn't quite get
we
there.
We heard rumblings that could happen.
Yeah, we were working on that, but we didn't quite get that pulled off. But he's knotted up. He looks great. Sandler, oh, so fancy.
He has a haircut, too.
Dude, and nobody, you know, he's always post. You know, listen, nobody does the social.
Yeah.
Like Sandler.
That's true.
Oh, my God. If you ever need to find an old tweet of his, good luck.
with all the, like, you know, tailors who have given him this or people who have set him up with that. So he's got some sweet suit that's basically Rangers themed, lined
awesome.
With this cool stuff. I mean, he's all decked out. So
I just got a Whataburger jersey.
You guys so. Went straight Whataburger.
Yeah,
yeah,
appreciate
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Got to please the sponsors. You know how it goes,
you're never
right?
going to lose. You're never going to. You will go 162-0.
All right. Yes. Nobody's going 162-0.
With Whataburger,
right,
you are.
Yes, exactly.
I guarantee you.
Okay,
yes.
That's a fair point. I will concede that.
Not a single time.
Have you ever gone wrong at Whataburger?
Not one time.
Look.
After 11 o'clock, I get the taquitos. Before that, you know, yeah. I'm just getting the bacon cheeseburger, making sure we're getting the – I love the fries.
Once they got their app going – That helped out because
you like the app business.
Because if there's more than three cars in line, I was like, maybe stop. I need to go.
Okay.
But now that they got the app rocking and rolling, I feel much better about that. No, they absolutely are doing great. So it's day one, and I know this game counts the same as all the other games. But when you hear CAF, when you see Cigarette DH, you understand, because I'm part of the fan base. I'm sure you are as well.
Yes.
You understand the concern when you hear that.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. I heard you guys talking to CY about that this morning. There's no doubt. In fact, even in the exhibition games, when they were still assuring us, well, it's no big deal.
Yep.
He'll be fine on opening day. I thought, well, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel good about that.
Yeah.
It bothered me. But I literally, just before coming up here, because I knew you two would ask. And let's face it, I'm here for you guys.
Yes, you are.
I know.
I saw Boach, and I asked him. And he said, we felt like we had to DH him today because we really need him out there tomorrow.
There we go.
Okay. Okay.
If it's just 80%, I just got
to
get him out there.
I'm just trying to win this game today.
Get this one today.
So it sounds like he'll be in there tomorrow.
Okay.
I was out here yesterday, and he took the live BP, and he was hitting tanks, which he hates, by the way. Corey hates wasting bullets in batting practice.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really
could. It makes him nuts. But anyway, he looked great, and they said afterwards, they're like, he felt great. It doesn't bother him at all hitting. It's not a problem. They just want to be careful with that quick burst movement at short, that kind of stuff.
Ian Kinsler kind of touched on this a few minutes ago, and I thought it was really interesting because in 23, if you didn't score in the first four innings, you were like, it's on its way. At some point, there's going to be a flurry of runs by this team. And that was exciting because you knew you were always in a game. You knew you always had that chance, and the pitching's keeping you there. Jordan Montgomery, Evaldi doing their thing. With this group, as you've kind of been watching them in spring training, are you going, oh, yeah, this club's able to do that again?
To me, and you hate to get too far ahead on these things, I feel like this team offensively is going to be more dynamic and stronger than that 23 team. And that 23 team was crazy.
Yeah, they led in almost every offensive category in the American League.
880 runs.
Yeah.
But I look at this team and I think if these pieces stay healthy, if these guys stay healthy, generally speaking, they're going to do a lot of damage because there's just no weakness. There's no hole. Josh Smith's in the lineup today, right? Batting ninth.
Yeah.
The Silver Slugger last year. He got in the lineup today.
Yeah.
But barely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, just guys like Jake Berger and Peterson and these guys. There's so much thump.
So for the bullpen, it's always tough because, if they did poorly in spring training, then I'd be like, oh, our bullpen's in rough shape. And they did great, especially in the leverage spots. But you have to always say it is spring training. I have to admit, I feel a little bit more optimistic about especially the leverage parts of the bullpen than perhaps I did before they got to Arizona.
Well, let's face it, we haven't talked about it very much, right?
Yes.
Before spring training started, that was the issue. They don't have a closer. They don't have a closer. Who's going to close?
Yeah.
And that's all we could think about. Then spring training comes. We didn't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
Now, that's good, and I'm with you. They did do really well down there, and for all those times where I temper people's excitement or disappointment about players saying, don't pay attention to the spring training numbers. They don't matter. I feel like, in fairness, I need to say the same thing here.
Yeah.
But they looked good.
Yeah.
And I think you can certainly, you don't have to squint real hard to see Chris Martin doing really well, probably in the eighth inning type spot. And then I think, depending on how the lineup lines up, you could go Robert Garcia in the ninth if you felt like there was going to be a lefty pocket there, or you could go Luke Jackson in the ninth if you felt like there was going to be a right-handed pocket there. I think those three together right now are going to be the back end, the last three spots in the bullpen. How exactly they divvy that up, we don't really know yet, but I think, just kind of random situation, general situation, it's probably going to be Luke.
I was going to ask if you felt like he had theoretically emerged. I know it's situationally dependent, but all things being equal, it felt like maybe he had emerged.
I kind of feel like that too. And whether it's him emerging or just Bochy showing his tendencies, however you want to look at it, I get the sense that they like that. And I will say too, I think I only saw him pitch in one A game while we were down there. But man, it is interesting because the pitch clock, okay, we've upped the tempo a little bit. Nothing like this. This is almost just unbridled aggression. He gets that ball back, and he is coming at you again.
I like it.
Those hitters have no time to think. So I like it, you know. And, and he's got this bravado or this confidence about him, too. So he just comes right at you. It's certainly, at the very least, it's been fun to watch. We'll see how it plays out.
I know you got it's a new kind of model that y'all are working with a little bit this year this side. And opening day in particular for you, how is it different than 161? Like, how is that unique and different? But also, what do y'all have some special things planned on that side?
Yeah, so, I mean, the biggest difference, I think, there'll be a couple things, right? In the game broadcast, and that's where I, frankly, concern myself mostly, right? How's the game going to be presented? Well, you know, in a lot of ways, it will look and feel the same, but you'll see in the picture quality, you'll see in the graphics, and just the way we present little things, it's going to be a lot cleaner. You're going to get much more of the game, I think, and I think from a production standpoint, you know, this starts getting into the weeds a little bit for fans. I think our intent is to cover the game, right? Let's get fans here in the stadium with us to feel the game. And I think that's kind of our goal, as opposed to, let's say, a lot of stats and storyline stuff. That stuff comes out. It emerges all the time. But I feel like, and I might be speaking out of turn, I certainly know this is my goal, is that every game broadcast would be about the game that day. So I think you'll see some of that stuff. Then the pre and post game stuff, you know, now we got Jared hosting every day. We're going to include radio and TV people on that. So I think we just feel like the nice part about that is that it's a blank slate. Just do what you guys want. And so we have some ideas. We're bouncing some stuff out there a little bit. It's all about trying to control Coach Balsack and making sure that he doesn't go too crazy.
Good luck with that.
And that's our primary goal.
Yeah.
Keep him reined in.
Yeah.
And then the rest of us can just sort of support him.
So, and shameless plug alert, obviously, you can hear those pre and post right here.
That's
on 105 Through the Fan. One of the things that I think is really cool, I've been looking around the stadium already, and Corey had asked this, I think, a couple of days ago. I already see people sitting in their seats. Now, that's not to say that they won't get up and move around, but one of the things we talked about is when you're not broadcasting, you just go to a game, finding my seat was always the most important thing to me. Like, I know it didn't disappear. I have a ticket, but I needed to know exactly where that seat was, and then I could explore the rest of the space. Did you ever feel that way at all?
No, I think that's an interesting point, because I've never really thought much about that, but it's definitely my instinct, right?
Yeah.
Your instinct is, okay, let's find our gate. Let's get in the gate. What, is this the right gate? Yeah, we're in the gate. Okay, where's the seat? What section is that in? Is it up? Is it down? Okay, it's down. Okay, where's... Okay, we get over here. Which aisle do you go? Do you go left or do you go right?
You never know.
Right?
That's always so intimidating.
This side of the
they section? Don't help you out with that at all, do they?
That's
you're
always
like,
a roulette wheel.
Wrong side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to have to crawl over 18 people.
If somebody was in your seat, do you like that because it gives you an opportunity to tell them to hit the bricks? Or do you fear confrontation potentially?
Well, I can tell you that, and this is a broader thing for me, I fear confrontation at all times.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm perfectly okay with that.
I don't want any confrontation.
I enjoy confrontation.
You do?
That's why I asked.
Oh, yeah.
Because I told Corey, like 90% of your life, you're walking around. You might not know exactly what that person's going to say, but you got the gist of it. Like, before they even start talking, you know what they're going to say. You know what you're going to say. But in a confrontation, things get wild. You don't know what could happen.
Unpredictable.
And you don't sometimes know what you're going to
say.
That is true. Like, man, when it gets hot and you're going off a little bit, it's like you got the two voices. You're like, slow down. Slow down there, cowboy. Just rein it in. Don't go there. But, you know,
Corey will tell you, I walk out of the room. Because I know I need time, because that other voice is going to win. And I need time to balance it out with a good Kevin that's like, hey, why don't you calm down? Mm-hmm. And I just need to walk out of the room and, like, take a minute.
And that's when Mike would look at me and go,
is everything okay? And I'd go, he'll be back. Don't worry about it.
It's funny
fine.
When he said the other voice. I'm like, oh, Bassick again?
Oh, I still have nightmares about it. You will too. We'll create a support group and everything like that. You know, we asked Matt Hicks about this, and obviously we talked about how bullish you are on the offense, but the rest of the country with the predictions coming out and everything, man, there's an astonishing amount of steam behind the Rangers that I don't know I realized was there a couple of months ago. Does that surprise you?
I don't know if it surprises me, but I'm with you because it is built so quickly
and it's
gaining so much steam right now. It almost makes me a little uncomfortable. I'd rather, you know, I'm definitely the type I'd rather kind of sneak up on people
a little bit until
I was really certain how great a team you had. But it doesn't look like there'll be any sneaking up because people are onto it. And, you know, like Ken Rosenthal, I bumped into him at camp about a week ago. I had no idea how tapped in he was and what we were doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Ken's like, he's got his finger on the pulse. He is all over this team. And he's like, you know, I think Wyatt Langford's probably, you know, he thinks Wyatt could be the best hitter in the league, certainly most improved. He thinks the Rangers are the most improved team. He's had to temper a lot of what he's been writing and saying and broadcast because he's like, I feel like I'm too Rangers heavy. I keep coming too hot with Rangers stuff. But, yeah, there is a great deal of enthusiasm right now. And I get it. It's just like I was saying earlier, 880 runs 2 years ago. I think this team is better. I really do. I think this team is dynamic.
I can't remember if it was Rosenthal or somebody else, but a prominent national writer said, Wyatt Langford can be the best player in baseball at hitting the baseball aside from Shohei.
Right.
And, like, that's pretty high.
Wow.
That's pretty high praise right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it's crazy. I hesitate to say it all the time because I don't want to put more on
him. Yeah, I gotcha.
My God, did we put enough on him last year?
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of got us started with that spring training. But
yeah, he did.
But then he did what he did in September, and now I can't help but let my mind run wild, right?
Right, and the thing I'd forgotten about that September was that he stole like seven bases.
Yeah, he's got all these different skills.
Yeah, and that's the most exciting part about it. Yes, he hits for power, but man, the way he runs, whether it's, you know, in a steal-type situation, or just when that ball's in play and he takes off. Man, it's wild to watch. And it's because it's different, too. He's not like that long kind of gazelle, elegant runner with great speed. He is like a fullback with ridiculous, with wide receiver speed. It's crazy to watch him.
I am predicting today, Dave, that Jock Peterson, who's not in the starting lineup, has a big moment later in the game today. Whenever they go to the bullpen, Jock comes in against a righty. And he has a significant moment there.
Wouldn't surprise me.
No. Right? It
wouldn't surprise me. He's kind of built for the moment.
Yeah, he is.
And he's like, he's as chill as they get.
He really is. We saw him in his, like, winter cap dancing around at spring training and stuff. So
I keep wondering, like, when am I going to see, like, some butterflies or, you know, whatever. No. And today he's got the hat, like, three quarters cocked off to the side.
It's a style.
No Sandy socks going. Just blue, like Grover socks pushed down. I'm like, okay, well, he's, you know, he knows what he's doing.
It's Grover socks. I love it. Thank you very much for jumping on with us and for being a Tolo. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you know it, brother. And I'm just so glad that I could get here at exactly the moment we were coming.
That was the most impressive part of the day so far.
It's all about efficiency in sports.
Yeah, you might be the only person who's actually been here at the time they were supposed to be here so far today.
Oh.
Except for Chris Young. He was there.
Young was definitely, yeah. He was
I feel
on
like
time.
The Josh Smith that I barely made the lineup, though, because as we had this conversation.
But you made it.
But you delivered.
We talked to Jared. We talked to this guy. Jeez, he finally got to me.
Yeah.
And but thanks for including me, though.
No
I do
problem.
Appreciate
you. No, thank you. Thank you coming by.
Let's get a win, and let's get a Whataburger after the game.
Yes.
There you go. Dave Raymond right here on 105.3 The Fan. You can go ahead and take your headset off because we're going to keep going. No commercials, all content right here on 105.3 The Fan. I didn't know, Corey, if I was going to get the opportunity to do this, but mini baseball nuggets.
Let's go.
All right. Here we
it.
Go. We're just flying by the seat of our pants today. All right. Dave Roberts. So Dave Roberts had hinted that maybe May would be the spot where Shohei Ohtani would be back on the mound. And he said, hey, we're being careful. We have to have a cautious and careful and long-term plan in place. And he goes, the most important thing is having Shohei not only in May, not only now, but through the end of the season, including October. So if he doesn't pitch now, you hear it right there. They're gearing up for him to potentially pitch, obviously, in October as well.
Okay. Then I mean, that's what it's all about.
Dave as Raymond if just, they needed more.
Dave Raymond just texted me back, though, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm on my way. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Corey. All right, let's talk about another Corey. Corey Seager. I have over-under predictions for his stat line this year.
33 home runs.
Ooh, take the over. He's at 28.5.
I'm taking the over.
How many RBIs?
101.
82.5. That feels low, low, low.
It does, but if he's driving line drives and singles, like he's not... They don't want him to run to second base, right? Like, they want him to get to first base. They don't want him going to second, like, pushing it too hard. So he might be that dude that just drives really good singles and clears Marcus Semien, but then he's on base for the guys like Wyatt Langford and Adolis Garcia to knock him in.
You're feeling bullish on Seager batting average.
I think his batting average, he's going to hit 301.
Wow, 280.
Okay, all right.
And then only 130.5 hits. So if you're feeling bullish on Corey Seager, go, go, go. Right now, oh, my God, he got a haircut.
Good
his
Lord.
Suit is on frickin' point. It is Rangers broadcaster and knower of all things baseball, Jared Sandler. Good afternoon. Happy opening day.
What's up, guys? Happy opening day.
Your suit is fantastic.
Yeah, dude, you look sharp. I love these shoes, too.
Oh,
yeah.
My. Can you show that off for
trying
the camera again?
Oh, is this the, yeah, let me get the,
what's on the
World Series homage?
Wow.
Yeah, let's win another one this year.
You have World Series shoes on.
World Series shoes. I got my dog on my socks.
Cute. Underwear.
Underwear.
Just regular.
Who says I'm wearing any?
There you go. That's, no? I'm not.
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully I bend down and get a little peek. Yeah, you never know.
Probably now, will.
You said let's go win a World Series. Let's go win another one. And that is the beauty for so many fan bases, even the White Sox, maybe not the White Sox, today, that you still, it's a new start. It's a fresh start. Can you just talk about that aspect of opening day? Because the games all count the same. The game tomorrow and the next day, it'll be the exact same in the win-loss column. But this day is obviously special for the players, for the fans, for us.
Yeah, and no matter how much you know that that's not the case, like when you win the first game, it feels like 162-0, here we come. And if you lose the first game, it's like, oh, my gosh, everything we thought about this season.
It's over.
Yeah, it's done. And, you know, maybe you don't hit well the first. Can they hit? I mean, is their lineup toast? Maybe they're just not good. This guy went 0-4. So, like.
You'll like a segment we're going to do tomorrow. Your complete overreactions, positive
please.
And negative, to the Rangers opening day.
And, you know, I know you're laughing when you guys say that because, you know, that was a source of a lot of fights on the post game for years, but like,
oh, yeah.
But you know, I, as a fan, I'm the same way, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want to see everyone get a hit, and so now I will tell you guys, I do think that first of all, the American League, somewhat indisputably, is wide open. When you look at the projections, there's not one clear cut favorite like the Dodgers are in the National League,
and even behind the Dodgers. Sorry to jump there.
Yeah.
The Braves, the Phillies, people
Mets,
seem
yeah.
like really robust
100%.
On the National League.
I think. For my money, the AL East could be won by, I mean, I don't think Toronto, but I think you could make a really strong case for four of the teams, and it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world if Toronto did win. They've got good pitching, really good defense. They do some of the little things well. You might ask 10 people and get, you know, two people saying each of the five teams. I my vote goes to the Red Sox. I think that the Red Sox are the best team in the AL East, and I think that arguably they're the best team in the American League. Other than the Rangers, right? I think these are the two best teams in the American League.
Okay.
Now, it might not play out that way because we thought this, you know, this time last year. But I think it's a really fun series to start the season.
I'm kind of curious because we left before he's turned it back on, but Adolis, what is your expectation from him? Because I know he changed it up a little bit, and then it seemed like he changed it back to his original swing. What do you, like... What did you see while we were gone that goes, oh, he might be back?
Yeah, he was it was like meeting in the middle, right? So he made these changes. I think maybe the thought was he went a little too far in one direction and it got away from who he was.
Okay.
And, like, you know, I had an interesting talk with Jake Berger. Jake Berger is super aggressive, right? Rangers fans are going to, you know, become more familiar with him. I think he has the record. I think he swung at 23 straight pitches at one point, right? Like, that's how aggressive he is. And we were talking about that, and he said, like, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, there are people who might watch me and say, I wish he walked more or whatever. And he probably could try and walk more, but that would take him away from who he is and what he is. Now, Can you rein in the aggression when it crosses a line? Yes. Can Adolis go back to 2023 where, yeah, he's still chased at around league average rate, but, you know, it wasn't like he was the most disciplined? Sure. But you don't want to get away from who he is. And I think some of the swing changes, it was more something you would see from a guy who's going to bat eighth and, you know, maybe spray the ball the other way.
Yes.
So he kind of met in the middle from what he had been versus what he was adjusting to, and it looked good in spring. Now, you know, who knows what it's going to be like once the season starts. But I think the biggest thing for Adolis is he's healthy. The right knee is healthy, and I think that is huge for him.
Jared just predicted four home runs today.
Four home runs. I like
that's
it.
What I heard.
In the first four innings.
Yeah,
so
maybe the first
who knows what happens after that.
Boston's screwed.
Yeah.
So you just kind of sort of answered my next question when you said it's spring, so who knows. I have to admit, I have fallen into the trap of feeling more confident about our bullpen because of spring training, especially 7, 8, and 9. Is that a fool's errand to feel that way?
Yeah, so on Monday, Luke Jackson came out for the ninth inning, and my guess is that was not by mistake. He is going to be the first. He's going to be the first guy to get a shot at being the ninth inning guy. But he came out to a remix of "Like a Prayer" by Madonna.
Awesome.
And at that point, I was in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was actually like pretty sweet. To me, I don't think he's going to give up a hit all year. Why do we even need to play nine innings when the Rangers
are up? He's going to take you there.
He's going to take you there, yeah.
I left out another part of the lyric that probably would have been less friendly for the radio.
But, I think this bullpen is going to be good. It might take a little bit to figure out who fits best where, right? And I think the key is, even in 23, I mean, the Rangers did not have a good bullpen in 23. Yeah. The bullpen was shrunk significantly in the playoffs, and they made it work. But as they were trying to figure things out in the regular season, they'd call up this guy. Didn't work. Call up this guy. Nope, couldn't do it. Call up that guy. Like, they couldn't turn anywhere beyond the eight guys they had active, and those guys really weren't other than a couple getting it done.
Yeah.
I think you can look at six to eight guys who aren't on the major league roster right now, and not all of them are going to be studs, but guys who I'm like, this guy throws 97 with a nasty slider. There's a reason he's not in the big leagues, but, like, I could squint and see it. Or a guy like Robbie Ahlstrom, who's going to start in Double-A, who by June 1, you know, could be ready to be getting big league hitters out. They just haven't had the depth beyond the guys on the opening day roster that they can turn to when inevitably some of the guys on the opening day roster who you expect to be a part of it don't pan out.
Maybe it's back in the bullpen. Maybe he gets a start here and there. But Chris Young did mention they think Dane Dunning can be one of their best 13 pitchers still. Do you envision a path for him to be back and help this big club this year?
There is a path, yes.
Okay.
Right?
But that sigh means it's a tough path.
I mean, I think Evan Grant did a good job of sharing, you know, where the Rangers are financially, and it's not like they've been unwilling to spend, right? I think we've talked about this. This is a separate conversation than the Athletics, the Rays, the Guardians, teams that don't spend. But because they have spent and because they've exceeded the luxury tax the last 2 years, they want to stay below it this year. In order to do that, they can't really afford to add a lot of salary.
Yeah.
And the reality is the reason why Dane Dunning was placed on outright waivers, one, he wasn't pitching well.
And you hope somebody pick him up. Yeah.
But if someone picks him up, then they get the $2.5 million of financial relief. So, that's still a reality. That's not going to change. Now, if he starts getting hitters out and they start liking what they're seeing, the Rangers need multi-inning relievers, and he fits that, and he's done it. I mean, heck, the guy's the all-time winningest pitcher in this ballpark. I know it's not a long history, but since the ballpark opened, the most wins, the most innings pitched, the most strikeouts. All that to say, he's got big league experience. You know what he can do, but it is possible he's thrown his last pitch with the Rangers. That is a definite reality that could come true.
All right, so I know we only got about 3 minutes here. The pitching matchup, we haven't talked a lot about that today. Eovaldi, we love having him on the mound. Crochet is fantastic. I feel like I know it's game one, so they're not in the groove, but I feel like we're going to get a really good pitching matchup for opening day.
Well, and what I really love about it is one of the biggest weaknesses for the Rangers last year offensively, maybe the biggest weakness, was their inability to hit the fastball. And you can make a case no one's got a better fastball in Major League Baseball than Garrett Crochet. Struck more guys out with his fastball than anyone else last year. Some of the other numbers that I could rattle off but will get lost in people's heads. I mean, they put him up there, basically no
no wider of a group than maybe top five in terms of just fastball performance. Well, all right. First game of the year. Marcus Semien, let's see if you can get back to 2023 fastball hitting form. Adolis Garcia, let's see if you can take a step forward. Jake Berger, you know, one of the big reasons you were brought here.
Yeah.
You're a really good fastball hitter. Jock Peterson as well. He's not in the starting lineup, but you're gonna get a really tough test right off the bat with Garrett Crochet. And with Nathan Eovaldi, you know, making his fifth opening day start in his career, you know, back-to-back for the Rangers. I mean, he's just a guy you trust, right? You just feel really good that when daddy's home and it's thundering and lightning outside and you hear some noises around the house, like, hey, Nathan Eovaldi's
right,
in the building,
dude.
You're going to be okay.
Let's put that to the
test.
How much trust do you have? Over under on his wins this season, 10.5, strikeouts, 145.5.
Well, I love the wins, especially because I think they're going to score a lot of runs, and he's going to pitch, you know, at least six innings most nights to get you that win.
Yeah.
And then the strikeouts, as long as he's healthy, yes. You know, and I think that's the only question is if he can stay healthy. But he is around a strikeout per inning guy. So I think that's what you're asking yourself. Can he give you 145 innings? And if he can, if that's your bet, then I play the over on the strikeout total.
All right, go ahead and put in your call for the first one today.
Well, new rules, guys. New rules for the home run game. It's we're no longer like you. I can't pick who you pick and you can't pick who I pick. But you can only pick a player once a week. So if I pick Corey Seager today, this is a short week, but I can't pick him again until Monday. So because there's a lefty on the mound, I didn't go with Corey Seager. I went with a guy who I think will be top 10 in MVP voting this year in Wyatt Langford.
Your
overs with Wyatt. How about that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jared Sandler right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you very much, good sir. Appreciate it.
Hey, happy opening day to you guys, and happy opening day to everyone tuning in. Let's hope for a great, healthy year for the Rangers because it's a lot more fun when they're winning.
Yes,
I love it. Coming up next, we will talk with former AEW world champion, the man throwing out the first pitch today, Maxwell Jacob Freeman, right here on 105.3 The Fan.